We read for you. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. A book by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Read by JP on Wolf Spirit Radio. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you are. This is JP, and here I am. Ah, there they are. So I was just looking for my reading glasses because I'm getting on in years, and these days I have to wear a different pair of glasses from normally looking at things to when I'm looking at things close up like books. And this is what happens, and your voice changes and you turn into an old English fellow until you finally put on these things. Oh, right, that's better. Ah, yes, back to my my reading voice. Let me just I have a little wooden block that I use as my lectern here to support the book as I read it, because I'm too weak now in these days to actually hold the thing up myself. Anyway, so I am reading for you the book called Atlantis, the Dark Continent by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. And we're in quite a long chapter. I think it's like lasted an hour. This is chapter 11 still, and it's called The First Settlements. So the situation is that what has been, they've been coming from Lemuria and arriving in Atlantis to settle the new land, because Lemuria is deteriorating. It's going to sink. They know it's going to sink, so they're making new settlements and creating a new new community there. So on page 75, some of the healers who had come in subsequent journeys after our initial settlement felt sympathetic to our viewpoint. We tried to talk with them and create a network of support. I no longer had any faith in the group of 10 healers with whom we had come to the new land. We needed links with others with whom we could combine our energies more positively. At this stage, we wanted to somehow find a way to gather sufficient support so that we could reform the society of our settlement and restore it to the spiritual values that were intended for it. However, our ability to do this felt very limited. However, Salish and I were refusing to be defeated. We also decided to travel to learn about how other settlements had coped with the energies of the new land. Perhaps we could learn some lessons by how they managed. Salash and I traveled on long journeys. Mostly, we just went together, but sometimes we took one or two of our new companions with us. Gradually, we were succeeding in creating a support group. Usually, we used our stones, our crystal stones, to monitor where would be the most promising places to go. As well as finding other settlements, we were also interested in discovering Earth energy power points and learning generally about the geography of the land. We want to pass on this information to our group. Often, it felt like a relief to be away from the town and settlement where we lived. One of the settlements where we visited was colonized by people from a more southern part of our former land, Lemuria. In this settlement, the healers had not come in such a predominant position. They had placed their temple in the middle of the town, and we noticed how the healers were much better integrated within their society. There were still some power accumulations by some of the individuals there, but it seemed to be a much happier place than our own settlement. Using our stones, we did learn of Doran's rituals and Alanya's participation in them. However, because I found communication with her so difficult, and she resisted my challenges, I just felt for a long time that I needed to let her go. This made me feel very sad,
However, Salash and I did feel prompted one day to follow her and see the ritual with our own eyes. Unfortunately, this coincided with one of the occasions when Alanya was making the kill. This shocked me tremendously. We had remained half hidden in the forest nearby, wearing dark clothing to disguise us. Salash had to lead me away to comfort me. He was very sensitive to my feelings, and without him there, I don't know what I would have done. We was puzzled by the drink they shared. We were puzzled by the drink that they shared, and eventually we managed to trace this as a drug. Tuning into Alanya's inner mind had become very difficult, and now we knew why. Once when I was there, when I was trying to concentrate upon this, a vision of the chest in the temple room came into my mind. Salash and I went there and found the powder. We took some so that one of our healer's friends could analyze it for us. Very often we were occupied arranging meetings, safe houses, gathering friends and supporters together. We had to be increasingly secretive because there were street patrols with men who were attached to the council. People who opposed the wishes of the council were often savagely beaten. Some disappeared. It was hard for us to see this happening. My thoughts were turning more and more to the idea we may need to start another settlement somewhere else. We tried to plan the timing of our interception of Alanya carefully. We knew that once Alanya stopped coming to the meetings, it would create danger, both for her and for us, and even for others in the movement. We had to be prepared. Doran would not tolerate any form of defection from his group. On a personal level, I felt I would need a lot of courage to cope with being so intimately close to Alanya again, after all that had happened. In this event, all worked out well, and we were able to carry Alanya to a safe house where we could be with her. While she was unconscious, I spoke to her mind with the assistance of my stone, helping her to be aware of what was happening, offering her reassurance and support. On one occasion, Salash was attacked while he tried to defend Saran. She must have done something to offend Doran. It was only with Alanya's help that we were able to save his life. Then, as we were embarking on one of our journeys sometime later, I felt like a psychic distress vibration, and Salash and I were able to tune in quickly that Alanya had been taken captive. At first, I was inclined to panic and wanted to go to her at once. Now that I had Alanya back, I did not want to lose her again. But Salash was steadier than me. We got some of our friends to help us. For both Salash and I, the attack to rescue Alanya was very painful and difficult. We believed in non-violence and had never used knives before. We did not like to have them, but we felt we must. Then, both of us were involved in killing. I killed Doran and Salash killed Danash. We both regretted this and were very shaken by it. Furthermore, two of our close companions also died in the fighting. Afterwards, we felt we had no choice but to leave the area. During our exploration, Salash and I discovered a beautiful stretch of land by a river and the sea on the other side of the mountains. We felt this would be an ideal place for a new settlement. This is what we were planning. Now, because of the rescue of Alanya, we had to hasten our plans. There were 8 of us leaving as an advance party to set up a base there. The rest of us would follow when this was accomplished. We set off in 2 groups of 4, and I had my communicator stone to help coordinate our journey. One of the healers was staying in the town with the others until the time was right to come after us. The group of us who had met and planned this mission had become very close during those last months with our many meetings together. The need for trust and complete cooperation strengthened our links. It was very sad then when, on the brink of making a new beginning, the 4 of us were killed on the mountain in the earthquake that took place. I remember my guide then as a woman with long blonde hair and an ornament over her third eye, holding me close after I passed over. It was a very frustrating life, but with some deep, warm connections. At least this time I managed to avoid the corruption, which many others did not. other connections. Denise identified herself as Saran in this lifetime. She had some regression experiences to Saran before either Linda or I did ours. Denise found it to be a very painful lifetime to relive. For her, it was an experience of isolation and despair. She battled with the temptations to turn away from what she knew was right. But she kept this struggle very much within herself and found it very difficult to ask for support. She felt betrayed and did not know who she could trust. Linda and I have sensed Lynn to be Salash. Lynn has not been through the complete regression as Salash, but she has had one experience where as Salash she was being given her wonderful blue sphere for the first time. She felt the energies through her body and knew that this sphere could bring clarity of mind and peace. It was a strong life for the four of us, Linda, Denise, Lynn, and myself, together. This was the first of many, many lives in Atlantis where the four of us were connected in one form or another. As I mentioned at the beginning of this chapter, the regressions to this particular lifetime were difficult for Linda. The first time she accessed Alanya, she totally skipped over the events of the sacrifices, making it seem as though she had led a blameless life, albeit with a tragic ending. However, she could not feel settled with that. Months later, flashes of the memories concerning the sacrifices began to impinge themselves on Linda's consciousness, disturbing her. She was very reluctant to acknowledge these memories, but she knew she must. There were strong feelings of unworthiness which she did not want to admit. However, admitting unworthiness was a theme, which was to have echoes in many of Linda's Atlantean experiences. It was the kind of feeling she wanted to conceal from others. This had a resonance in Linda's present life, where she sometimes felt very uncomfortable about sharing her feelings. On a personal note, Linda felt foolish and bad that Alanya had let Janya down, as she perceived it, especially with Janya being so passionately idealistic in his faith. It was important for me to offer Linda reassurance that I did not reject her for this, that I still accepted her, in spite of this past life. For me, going through the experience of Janya did not make much of a personal impact. There have been other Atlantean lifetimes which I have felt, For me, going through the experience of Janya did not make such a personal, I'll say it again. Did not make such a great personal impact. There have been other Atlantean lifetimes which I feel have offered more inner growth potential. Janya was quite a steadfast character, even though he faced great difficulties. His characteristic of persevering and even when facing continuing frustrations forms a resonance with my present life, and so affirming this quality has been strengthening for me. The different reactions and responses of our respective characters set a note for both Linda and I about how other experiences and memories of being Atlantis would unfold for us, and some of the ways in which we would be tested. Chapter 12. The Giant Crystal War. One evening, Linda was meditating in our group, when suddenly a mass of imagery flashed into her mind. She saw beams of energy cascading from clusters of giant crystals. These were crisscrossing through vast tracts of land in Atlantis, waves of tremendously destructive energy. She saw maps of Atlantis and the suggestion of a war, virtually destroying the whole southern half of the continent, wiping out its population from this one so violent war. Then came visions of how this war came about, with the perspective of its context in the history of Atlantis, and how this event linked with the final destruction of Atlantis many thousands of years later. Linda found herself seeing these beams of crystal energy as one who was there watching it. She realized she was alive then, living a life when this war took place. Previous to this, we had been given no indication of this war. We knew from other regressions to later times about the repair work going on to parts of the southern portion of the continent, that the population had seemed to shift from living in the southern section from the early time period to settling more in the central and northern sections in the middle to late periods. But we had never known why that happened. It came as rather a shock. Linda told Denise and me about her meditation experience. Immediately, Denise started accessing imagery of her own past life experience at that time, and I started having very uncomfortable feelings in my body. What follows is an account of the regression experience to my past life at this time. This was recorded that next day after Linda's meditation experience. Also included is Linda's regression to her life then, and some commentary by Albani from a channeled session recorded some days after. Paul's regression, the peace negotiator. I am standing by the temple, a magnificently built stone building. It is quite old, but has been done up recently to serve a new purpose as a military headquarters. The land is very green around me. There are trees with grass terraces with a view stretching down across the valley and towns towards the sea. I am a young man in my mid to late 20s. At the moment, my expression feels hard. I feel a grim determination, but also a fear. Mostly, I feel immense frustration. The words I hear repeating to myself in my mind are, "I don't want to be involved in this fighting." I am remembering back to my childhood. My father was involved in a war then. He was the local military commander. Many people would come to our house. They would be making plans. Plans for the fighting, plans for how they would outmaneuver the enemy. I felt I never really had a childhood because there was always talk of this fighting. Meanwhile, I felt I was just shoved in a corner while they got on with their plans. I didn't want to be any part of it, and I still don't want to be part of it now. My mother cared about me, but she didn't have time for me. My father was preoccupied and didn't have time for me either. I remember them sitting on these wooden benches around the kitchen table, talking so earnestly and passionately about their plans and strategies. I think they expected me to join in with them, but I just felt neglected. I have a sister, and she was perhaps less involved than me, because she was helping with cooking and housework. I remember her helping my mother, stirring the large pot of broth on the stove. My father wanted me to be like him. I think he had ambitions for me to learn to be a military officer like him. He wanted me to witness what he was doing. But I didn't want to become involved, and I felt all alone with this. I was there in the room where these discussions took place only because I had to be. My father is long dead. He died in the fighting at the end of that war. All those discussions were of no use to him. He just died. And for a while, the fighting settled down. My mother and sister managed as best as they could, and I tried to help them. There was not much joy in the house. My mother seemed to idolize my father, and I can't understand that. But now there is more trouble. There seems to be a war brewing across the land. My mother is still alive and has a high standing in the community through the position of my father, but she hasn't changed. She wants to defend the borders of our community and valley by fighting if necessary. I just do not agree. There is a local government which controls the large area of our valley. We are surrounded by mountains and hills with the sea in front of us. Many people live here in towns and villages. Our area of land is rich in natural resources and earth energies. I can see that people living further away would like to claim this land to be their own. But this seems to be the pattern throughout other communities too. The military appear to be building up their might as an aggressive force. All the military units are showing how tough and superior they can be, just like they were playing a game with each other to find out who can win. However, I know it is not very pleasant when people you love start to die. I have been arguing with the military officers inside the temple. They want me to try to summon up civilian support for their armies, but this isn't my job. I work as a diplomat or peacekeeper, trying to bring groups of people together, finding common interests or values so communities can live in harmony together. I travel around quite long distances across this southern area of our land trying to solve disputes, getting people to listen to each other. There are a team of us that work together. Recently, though, it has become much more difficult. I'm not sure that the people want peace anymore. I feel that I have reached the limits of what I can do. There is a young woman who works with me. I'm not formally joined with her, but she is someone who understands me very well. She also lost members of her family in the last war, so we have a shared feeling about the suffering which war can bring. She is psychic and can tell when people are telling the truth or not. This can be very useful in our negotiations. As well as working closely with her, I feel a strong personal bond of trust with her. I am usually the more assertive one when it comes to negotiations. She prefers to stay more in the background, in a supportive role. Her presence is very gentle and we work well together. I feel rather afraid about the possible use of the giant crystals in war. They have never really been used in this way, on any large scale before, but the military forces are all aware of their potential destructive capability. I have noticed in the other communities too, that great efforts are being made by the various military forces to test these crystals as a possible weapon. I don't like it. And I hope... I'll start again. I feel rather afraid about the possible use of the giant crystals in war. They have never really been used in this way on any large scale before, but the military forces are all aware of their potential destructive capability. I have noticed in the other communities too that great efforts are being made by the various military forces to test these crystals as a possible weapon. I don't like it, and I hope they won't be used. Just sensing the power of these crystals, I know they could be very deadly indeed. I've heard the same story in many different military quarters. They each want to use the giant crystals to achieve a decisive military outcome, to impose a peace through their superiority. I just do not believe it. In all this, I feel rather helpless. A strong part of me wants to withdraw, and the whole situation seems to be escalating out of control. Now I'm with my friend. There are five of us together and we are making plans to leave. We are all colleagues and we feel collectively that there is nothing more we can do to help. The war is getting much closer now. I know from these military commanders that the crystals will be used, and I see nothing but destruction from it. I sense that it is going to be a terribly destructive conflict. We have gathered our things together, and we want basically to escape. We want to go over the hills and mountains and try to find a new life for ourselves, somewhere further north. Besides my friend, there are three others with me, two men and a woman. They are all part of my team, and they are coming largely at my suggestion. We are on the edge of a marketplace in one of the towns by the sea. We're going to have to be careful about the way we proceed. The fighting on a small scale seems to be going on in so many different places. I've never been to the north, but we know there are settlements over the mountains. I just hope that it may be more peaceful there, and that those people may accept us to join them. Inside, I feel some uneasiness that I am not staying to help. My mother wants me to stay, and I have not been able to face her and to tell her that I am leaving. I think it would make her very upset, but the thought of the war just brings a kind of rage inside me, and this spurs me on. We have gone high up into the mountains now. Looking back, we can just see the corners of our valley. It looks far away. Even so, I am struck by the beauty of our land. I really love my homeland. Up here, it is much colder and the wind blows around us. However, I am having second thoughts. I am wondering if I am being cowardly by wanting to go away from the situation at home. I keep talking about this with my friends, and they have different opinions to me. My friend wants to stay with me, whatever I decide. I think she loves me, and she wants me to stay with her, with me, whatever happens. The others are adamant, though, that they want to go on. I know this is my last chance. If I go any further, I will lose sight of my homeland, and I know I will not go back. I am deciding to turn around, and my friend is coming with me. We have parted regretfully from our companions. I feel relieved to have decided this, but also a little anxious. My senses tell me that I am going to die. Somehow, I have an ability to know things. I knew my father would die when he went out to war. I could sense a war was coming again, even before the military commanders started making their preparations. When I have been working as a diplomat, I could... When I've been working as a diplomat, I could sense what was going on in other people's minds. Therefore, I could tell which people I would be able to counsel and which people I could not reach. When I tuned into people, I often knew what I needed to communicate with them. This ability has helped me to do my job well. From the beginning, I have sensed a strong foreboding about this war. Because of this, I have been very reluctant to take my friend back into this valley with me. However, she is coming because she wants to come with me. It is her own choice. She senses my nervousness and anxiety. And at the moment, I'm not even sure that we'll make it back. There is a horrible sense of dread inside that makes me feel very lonely. I know the war has started. There is fighting already, although I do not think the crystals have been used yet. But I don't think it will be long. We've stopped in a small clearing at the top of the hills overlooking the valley. It is cold up here now that we've stopped walking, but I just don't feel that I want to go further. We can see everything from here. I sense something awful is going to happen, and I can't stop it. I want to sit with my friend and pray, because I feel there is little more we can do, and I feel very much afraid. I am quite near my home on this ridge. There is a part of me that longs to see my mother again, and I feel torn that maybe we should go on just to do that. But a stronger part of me refuses to go on. If I went down into the valley, I would be caught once again in the midst of the fighting. Where I am now feels as close as I want to come to it. I do not want to desert my home, and I do not want to be involved in the fighting either. I feel I want to stay here now until the end. I feel the crystals are being used. There is a shaking in the ground underneath me. I am feeling really frightened. Holding the hand of my companion, I sense that she is frightened too. We are huddling close together. I think there is something happening to the earth and I cannot do anything. It feels like the earth is beginning to move. I can tell that these energy beams are going all around me, and I can feel there is some destruction happening. It is more than I thought it would be. I am afraid for our land, and I do not know what is going to happen. I feel so afraid. I don't want it to end this way. I've done such a lot to try and stop the war, and now it has come anyway. It is even destroying the land. I don't want to allow this. I feel so powerless and helpless. I feel there are pressures building up. I feel the land. I just wish this fighting would stop. I see those beams of energy, the crystals. I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I just feel something awful is happening. I don't want the land to be destroyed like this. I don't want this to happen. I just wish they'd stop. I wish they'd stop before it's too late. I just really feel afraid. There are beams of energy. I do not see them so easily, but I know they are going out. Some of them are coming from far away, and each one seems to rock the earth inside. I feel the explosions. I see explosions. I feel the earth underneath me is reacting, and it is building up. There are more explosions, and I don't think it can last much longer before something more terrible happens. I'm crouched on the ground, sitting with my friend, and she is holding my hand very tightly. I know she is afraid like me, and there is nothing we can do. It is too late to get away. The shaking is happening beneath us. We cannot go quickly enough anymore, and I know inside myself we could not escape. We've come here to die. Now it is night time. It is getting more violent, and there is rumbling from the mountain above us. We can feel the rumbling of the earth. We are both absolutely terrified. We are terrified for our own lives and our land. I think I may have died. It was very quick. I think a boulder came and crushed me. I feel there was an earth movement, and then I was gone. I just feel bewildered, and I never want to experience anything like that again. I feel my friend is with me, and it's like we're still holding hands. We're still clutching each other in fear, even though we're dead. I sense there are millions like us. Millions. I just sense a great portion of our vast land has just gone. I sense that there has been some great catastrophe. I think the land could not cope with the crystal war. I think the land reacted. I think the land rejected us and our people. The land moved. The land went through upheaval. And it feels like the land threw us off its back. The land did not want the people to be using the crystals like that. The crystals belong to the earth, for peace, for energy, not for fighting. I feel the land did that because the land did not want people doing those things to it. And the people nearly all died. My mother and sister are here. My father has come from higher up to meet us. There is just much confusion. Even our companions, they did not get away. They too died. They thought they would escape, but they did not. I sense the presence of my guide reassuring me, helping me to unlock my hand from that of my companion. The energy around me is of a huge mass of bewildered, frightening people and souls, struggling to cope and come to terms with what has happened. Coming out of this regression, I felt very shaky for several hours afterwards. It was a very unsettling, powerful experience, and left me very thoughtful. So, I'm going to play a tune just to chill out. We start with Linda's regression. Braddon. I am standing on an arched bridge of white stone over one of the city's canals. There is a small group of us just relaxing and enjoying ourselves. This is one of our favorite gathering places. We're all final year students in the military academy and are almost at the end of our training. It has been an intense but thoroughly enjoyable few years. And I have formed many close friendships. Try again. It has been an intense but thoroughly enjoyable few years, and I have formed many close friendships. Although we are laughing and joking and celebrating the end of our course, we are also sad that we will soon be parting, for we know we will not see each other again. We are all from different areas of our vast continent, and we will be returning to our respective homes. Taking with us the skills we have learned and many happy memories. I will return to my home in the East and hopefully with my newly acquired knowledge will be given a reasonably senior post in military establishment, for students qualifying from here are generally held in high esteem. It is 2 years since I came home, and I am now commanding officer of the forces in my area. I enjoy the feeling of responsibility that comes with this position, and I am well respected for my judgment and fairness. Our country is surrounded by high mountains on three sides and by the sea to the east. In the years since I left the academy, the political situation has changed dramatically, with a great deal of military instability and the possibility of war. My main priority is to keep my land and the people safe from invasion. We are prosperous, and many others envy our wealth. The area of highest risk is in the southeast, where the mountains become lower towards the sea, and they are easier to cross. If attack comes, that is probably where it will be. I am in charge of a force of men on our border, and we are being attacked. There are missiles flying towards us, small bolts of metal that explode on impact with a form of energy. Several men have fallen. I am scrambling over some rocks for cover when I am hit in my right shoulder. The pain is sudden and severe. I am aware of hands helping me as my knees buckle and I fall in agony. My arm and shoulder feel like they're on fire. Our healers are looking at me with serious faces. The senior man tells me the explosive force has done severe damage to the nerves in my arms. They doubt whether they can save it, and even if they do, they do not think I will retain full use of it. This is awful. I feel my heart sink. This will be the end of my active career. I'm so young. I will be invalided out to some non-active position. The senior healer talks to me at great length. He tells me of a new technique that they want to use to repair the damage. It involves using a tiny crystal and implanting it in my shoulder to connect the nerves. I agree to this. They give me a sedative drink and operate. I recover well. The main healer involved, the one who actually did the operation, talks with me a lot during my convalescence. His name is Emilio, and we become close friends. He has saved both my arm and my career. I am grateful for his marvelous skills. We talk of many things, sometimes late into the night. He comes to see me when he has spare time. One day, he suggests that I should leave my military profession and train as a healer. I am quite bewildered by this. I have always felt a great drive towards leadership, and yet something inside me stirred when he suggested that. However, I am happy with my position, and now I am recovered and almost as fit as I was, I am in a good place to achieve a high command commission, which I would dearly love. Perhaps when I'm older, I don't know. The feelings inside me are quite uncomfortable. Politely I decline and thank him for his insight. I feel very close to him, and when I finally leave his care, some months later, we vow to keep in touch. There is a depth about him I greatly like. I'll miss having him around. It is later. I am standing by a bridge over a rushing mountain river. There has been a fierce encounter with our enemies from the south who wish to invade us. We have succeeded in repelling them from now, but I'm sure they'll be back. I never expected to return to the active side of soldiering, but I needed to come and see for myself what the situation was like here. My shoulder still bothers me occasionally. I can't draw a sword properly, but most of the time I manage well. The healers did an excellent job on me. Looking around the scene of the fighting, I see we have lost some good men, but they have too. There are bodies all around. This bridge is strategically important, for it's one of the few places where the river can be crossed safely, as it is both fast-flowing and runs through deep gorges and ravines. Suddenly, I realized that I recognized one of the enemy dead. It is an old friend of mine from the academy. This shocked me, for I simply did not expect this. I didn't see that we would become enemies. The situation has changed so much in recent years. Trying not to show I feel upset, I turn away and go to my command tent. The whole incident disturbs me deeply, and I try to put it out of my mind, concentrating on the many tasks in hand. I tell myself it is a natural consequence of a war situation, but it still bothers me more than I like. I have been having discussions with my senior officers, and we all agree that the people we are fighting appear to have superior weapons. They seem to be based on using crystal energy, so we need to look at this. Our technicians say we should develop the same. There are many who say crystals should not be used for aggression. However, I do not go along with this view. It is superstitious nonsense. If this force is available to us, we should use it. It is apparent that the only places where there are large enough crystals for what we need are the healing sanctuaries. This is where we shall go and take them by force if required. This is later. We are at one of the sanctuaries and we have had to force our way in here. There was surprising resistance to us and some have been killed. It is regrettable but necessary. I have followed behind my junior staff who have taken this place. Our technicians will deal with the crystals. We need their power to defend our land and our people. Surely they cannot disagree with that. My men have rounded up all the occupants and they are being held in a frightened huddle in the main room. Some are shouting abuse at us. They are saying that if we use the crystals, we will destroy ourselves. They are not weapons of war. They say the earth will take revenge on us. These people are so ignorant. They actually believe all this rubbish. One man, tall and proud, said he is their leader. He is being difficult in inciting the others to rebel. We have to get rid of him. I decide to make him one example to the others, and so I order two of my men to bring him forward. Telling him that I will kill him if he doesn't keep quiet and obey my orders, he refuses to listen and seems quite unperturbed by my threats, continuing shouting at us. Taking my sword, I thrust it through his chest and he dies without a sound and falls to the floor. The others are shocked into silence. Some of the women start crying. I order my men to take them all away and remove the body. I bring in my people to work on the crystals. More and more, I feel disturbed at killing the healer. He was a good man and didn't deserve it. But I felt somehow that I needed to establish our authority. I don't like what I've done. After all the healers did for me, they saved my arm. He shouldn't have died. But I cannot tolerate resistance. I have friends who are healers, good friends. The more I think about it, the more I realize I shouldn't have done it. It's going round in my mind and I need to forget it. It is later and I have more problems. My technicians can only produce a small amount of energy from the crystals. We need further power. They say they're amongst the people here who are tuned into the crystals. They say there are those amongst the people here who are tuned into the crystals and can get them to supply the energy we need, but they are refusing to cooperate. My other officers want to torture some of them to gain their help. They say if we torture some of them with the others watching, they will probably give in. Reluctantly, I order my officers to do this, but I want no part of it. Although I sanction it, I can remove myself from the actual work and turn a blind eye. It is many months later, and I am attending a peace conference at one of the mountain sanctuaries. This has been organized by the diplomats and peace negotiators. I have no time for this and feel angry and frustrated at being involved. The outcome does not matter for me, for I feel the situation has already gone too far to contemplate peaceful settlement. There are several military commanders present under a truce banner. We're all enemies and I feel suspicious of them. There are five peace negotiators, two pairs of men and women, and one single man. He is from the north of our land and seems to be in charge. The arguments they put forward are very strong, but I still favor military action. We need to protect ourselves. The northerner is very vociferous against the use of crystal energies, and I feel intense dislike for him. He's altogether too persuasive. After hours of futile discussion, I feel angry and confused, storming out of the room and needing air. I need to get away from these fools for a while. I feel like I'm going to explode. I'm so angry. One of the diplomats has run after me, and his female colleague is right behind him. I know them, for they're from my own town. I have some authority over them, and I don't want him here with me. The fact that he makes me so much sense upsets me. When he calls me a fool and an idiot, I turn in a rage and hit him across the face with my fist. As he falls, he looks shocked and hurt. Resisting the tremendous urge to draw my weapons, she stands between us. There are tears in her eyes, but she says nothing. The look on her face makes me terribly ashamed. She helps him up, and they walk away. As far as I am concerned, this conference is over. It has been a waste of time. Nothing has been achieved. I travel back to my command post and prepare for war. It is later. The fighting is not going well for us. Our borders have been breached, much territory lost, and many people have died. I feel the only way now is to deal a blow to the enemy with the crystal energy we have at our command and destroy them. I feel angry and frustrated, for none of my plans are working. We are getting nowhere. These people at the sanctuaries are both unhelpful and intransigent. They persistently refuse to cooperate with us and even to save their own land. I can't understand their attitude. Don't they realize we're in danger? We've been invaded. Don't they see the enemy forces are gathering near? We need the energy they can supply via crystals to defend ourselves and our population. I have told them that many innocent people could be killed. They don't seem to care. I've tried everything. Negotiation, anger, ordering them to comply. I have even killed one or two of them for being deliberately obstinate and inciting the others. Nothing's worked. Now I am at one of the sanctuaries, high in the mountains. I have left my men in charge of getting the information we need once more. I hope this works, for I can't think of anything else. But deep inside, I am disturbed. I have had to supervise this kind of activity a few times now, and it doesn't get any easier. I still feel a strange guilt at harming these people. Mounting my horse, I ride slowly away from the sanctuary gates. I am almost reluctant to leave, and I feel odd. Shrugging my shoulders, I try to pull myself together. Being the commanding officer, I shouldn't be so indecisive. We are returning to our main base in the town. It takes about a few hours down rough mountain tracks and woodland. There are six of us. Riding slowly, or as the way is steep, care needs to be taken. I stay back, behind the others, feeling a strange reluctance to join their animated conversation. Deep in my own thoughts, suddenly my ears catch a drift of the talking ahead of me. One of the men mentioned Emilo. Emilo was my close friend, the one who operated on me and saved my arm. Surely he couldn't be there. I haven't heard from him in ages. He was attached to the military, but I heard he had left. When I tried to trace him, he seemed to have completely disappeared. We got along so well. I missed him terribly when he went, feeling sure he would get in touch. But he never did. Now I realize with growing horror that he must be at the sanctuary we have just left, and I have ordered my men to torture the healers. My heart sinks, and I feel sick inside. I need to go back. I must find him and save him if I can. Reaching a flat section of path just before it plunges into a steep-sided ravine, we stop to water and rest the horses. I make the excuse that I need to go back and check my orders are being carried out correctly, telling the others to continue on, and I will return later. I will go back and surprise my men. They laugh and we part. As soon as they are out of sight, I urge my horse back uphill as fast as he can go. However, it is difficult to make any kind of speed. Panicking inside, I feel a deep sense of fear and horror. Somehow I know that my friend is the one they are torturing. After what seems like hours, I arrive at the sanctuary gates once more, breathless and sweating. Marching inside, I try not to be in too obvious a haste. The guards salute as I pass. Asking where they have the healers they are questioning, I am directed to a back area behind the main temple rooms. Quickly, I walk down a corridor, again trying to maintain a dignified gait, but my body wants me to run as fast as I can. My heart is racing and I am sweating with fear. In the distance, I can hear screams. Going into the room, two of my men are there, and I see the shape of a body on the floor behind them in the shadows. They both leap to attention and salute me. I tell them to go and take a break while I inspect their work, and they leave. There is a deep silence. All I can hear is my heart pounding and my rapid breathing. Going across, I kneel beside him. He's almost unrecognizable. His face has been badly beaten. His body and limbs are covered in blood and they have blinded him. There are two slivers of crystal embedded in his eyes. I feel rising nausea and can't speak. I feel choked. He knows me. He senses me. I hold his hand and gently raise his body and hold him. He speaks quietly and calms me and asks me to do one thing for him. As his closest friend, he wants me to kill him. I am horrified and hesitate. He grips my hand with surprising strength and pleads with me. I speak with difficulty and say that I will. Swallowing hard, I draw my dagger. I hold the point against his blood-soaked chest. I want to do this cleanly with one blow. My hand is shaking and I feel tears in my eyes. Taking a deep breath, I plunge the dagger into him and he dies instantly. Withdrawing the knife, I hold his body close, allowing myself to cry. His blood covers my uniform. Staying for a while, I then hear the men returning. Laying him down, I stand up briskly and cover my blood-stained clothing with my cloak. Walking out of the room, ignoring the two soldiers, I order a horse to be brought and swiftly ride away down the track once more. My mind is in turmoil. I feel sick and shaky. I reach the place where I turned back. Here, a mountain stream runs through a series of pools before plunging into the ravine. Dismounting, I walk to the water's edge, sit on a stone, and start to cry. Tears roll down as I feel deep sobs come from within me. I feel wretched, sick, and revolted, swearing there will be no more killing of healers, not like this, not while I am in command. I'm angry, upset, and deeply ashamed. Looking at my clothes covered in my friend's blood, I undress and soak them in the water. Then I get into the icy water myself and swim. It takes my breath away with its coldness, but it feels cleansing and refreshing. I want it to wash the hurt away from me. Eventually I am so cold I have to get out, and I lay in the sun for a while to both dry myself and to dry my clothes, continuing my return journey after that. On the way, I begin to feel shivery and ill. I ride into the courtyard at our headquarters and dismount. My legs give way and I collapse. Vaguely, I am aware of being taken inside. After a few days or so, I recover and return to my duties. It has been like a horrible nightmare. It is some days later. I am in a large circular room, standing by a table strewn with papers and maps. This is where I work most of the time. I have been studying the layout of the crystal energy centers. Soon, we will have to use them. There is a large cluster here, in one of the front rooms near the terrace. It is enormous, one of the biggest I have seen. The crystals are 6-7 foot high, taller than me. Always, I feel quite uneasy near them. It's almost like they sense my presence, like they're angry with me. I find this strangely uncomfortable. After much deliberation and advice, I have decided to use the crystal energy tonight. I have given orders to activate the main crystal link at sunset and to direct a beam of energy at the enemy encampment in the mountains and destroy it. It is late. I know my orders were carried out and were successful. At last, now we know we can destroy anyone who comes against us. But again, I feel vaguely uneasy. It's the middle of the night and I cannot sleep. Something is happening. I feel scared, frightened. Getting up, I go to a small garden area which is near my headquarters. Having nothing on my feet as I walk onto the soil, I feel vibrations running up through the soles of my feet and deep inside me. The earth is angry. Suddenly, I feel very afraid. There is a strange feel to the air. I don't know where everyone is. I seem to be alone. There are flashes of light in the sky. It's not lightning, it is different. The fear is rising in me, like a panic. This is crystal energy. What have we done? What have we started? We have triggered a terrible destructive force, the healers of right. What fools we have been. Running back inside, I pull on my boots and clothes and go through the main rooms. Still, I haven't seen anyone. Where is everybody? The map room is empty. Suddenly, I become aware with utter horror that the giant crystal here is also reacting. It is making a terrible sound. The sonics reverberate through my head. I feel a rising panic. I am alone. The flashes in the sky are increasing now. Beams of brightly colored light are lancing through the darkness. I can hear explosions and people screaming. The screech from the crystal is almost unbearable. I am transfixed in the doorway, frozen, looking in absolute fear at the crystal cluster. They are pulsating with a glowing light, and the sound, the deep throbbing, is causing me intense pain in my head, so I clasp my hands to my temples and try to shut it out. There is a flash of brilliant, blinding white light, and I lose consciousness. When I come round, I can't move. I am pinned down across my chest with the door lintel which has fallen. It is deadly quiet and my body feels numb. I have severe pain in my chest and head and breathing is difficult. The silence is frightening. The world has died. Everything is dead. I sense it. There is no life around me. The floor is slanting over and the crystal cluster has gone, shattered into thousands of pieces. There are just blackened, burnt-out stumps left with millions of tiny bits, some embedded in my arms and face. I know that everyone has died. I feel desolate, so alone. Dreadful feelings of guilt rise within me. I know I'm dying. I cannot survive these injuries. Becoming aware that I cannot feel pain anymore, I seem to be floating away from my crushed body. I can see it now, lying beneath a heap of rubble and stone. My fear has gone. I feel such a wonderful peace. A peace I haven't felt in years. And love. Such an overwhelming feeling of love. I am in a brilliant light, and a woman comes forward. Then I see the man I killed, the healer. He is smiling and reaching out to me. I feel great love for him, love and forgiveness. My mother and father and brother are there. My friend Emilio is here, and he thanks me for what I did. This is all so overwhelming. I feel shaky and very weak. My lady takes me to a place of rest, and I feel great peace.
Spirit Radio.